I'm going to need a couple volunteers. One of the volunteers can just be anyone. And the other volunteer, actually, I could take three volunteers. Three volunteers. River, do you want to come do it? You can come. Come on up. Two more. One of them has to be a coffee drinker who has not maxed out their capacity for the day. Is that you? Yes, it is. Your friend just tapped you on the shoulder. Everyone looked at the same person. Do you mind? If you don't want to, you don't have to. Okay, you sort it out. And I need one other person. Do not have to be a coffee drinker. You want to come? Yeah, come on up. Okay. All right, you guys, let's see. Okay. So I have a couple things that we're going to work on real quick. The first thing is I am going to, you're like, why are you my friends? Why did you do this to me? Okay, I'm gonna give you two mugs, and you're gonna give us some coffee. Okay, does that sound good? Okay, let me grab the mugs. River, you have a different job. Everyone has a different job. So here are your mugs. Can I hold them? Okay, you can just set them there, and I'll give you everything you need to get some coffee for us. Okay, here you go. You just start working on it. Okay, River, your job. Do you know what this is? Okay, a block of wood. Here is a nail. Be careful. And River, I really need that hammered into the wood. Can you work on that for me? Can you show everyone what's on your paper? Okay. And you're just going to have to wait. Actually, I have a problem in the foyer. If you can help. No, I'm just kidding. Give him a round of applause. He's done. You can go sit down. Thank you. Here, you can take this with you. All right, okay, so, can you just get us some coffee? Yeah. Oh, you're good at this, yes. Oh, this is so good. Can we drink some together? What's your name?
Marianne.
Marianne, nice to meet you. You can have a seat if you want. I'm Seth. I love coffee. I had to decide, I had like eight different coffee making apparatuses at home, apparati, and like I was like not sure which one to bring. So I just decided to just bring some, and then we could share it. River, how's it going? River, you got a little full. Wow. That could probably hold something. I'm impressed. Get it the whole way down and then tell me when you're done. Okay, for real though, let's see if we can do this together. Okay, can you put that on the middle container? Freshly roasted, freshly ground coffee. River, can you keep working on that for me? Are you done? It's in the whole way. Oh, you went the whole way. Wow, I don't even see it there. You went so far down into it. Everyone give River a round of applause, please. Here, River. River, if I gave this to you, do you think you could probably pull it off?
Yes.
Yes, let's do it after church, okay? Deal? We'll do it outside. I didn't ask if I was allowed to put a nail in that 4x4. I think after two years of pastoring in this church, I'm probably allowed to use 2x4s for sermon illustrations. Marianne, you've been sitting up here for a very long time, but if you wait for like three more minutes, you can have some coffee.
It's so worth it.
Okay, awesome.
I'll stay up here as long as I can.
Marianne, could you make us some coffee now? Do you think probably if you just push that button and then just like do the work the pour over, okay? Does that sound good? Talk to me about why River couldn't put the nail on the board. River, why couldn't you put the nail on the board? It was made of paper? That wasn't a real hammer I gave you? But have you ever nailed a nail on a board before? Yeah, you have, right? What if I called your dad up to help you, do you think? This, Jamie, that's two sermons in a row I referred you. I'm so sorry. River, if I called someone else and I gave them the same thing I gave you, do you think that they could probably get it done? No. Why not?
Paper.
It's just paper, right? So even if I gave you something that you've done before and I gave you help from someone who could do it, but I just gave you the piece of paper that was a picture of a hammer, you couldn't get it done, right? That's right. Marianne, we're going to enjoy something pretty good in a few minutes, right? Yeah, right? Because we love coffee, right? Yeah, and giving you a piece of paper that has a picture on it of coffee, can you show everyone? Isn't the same thing. Now, what would be silly, can I have the paper, please, Marianne? What would be silly is if I invited someone else to come up and I said, someone else who really loved coffee, and I gave them this paper. And after Marianne and I have brewed this coffee, we are going to brew the coffee, and it's going to smell delicious in here. And then we're going to drink the coffee in front of you. And you're all going to remember this last sermon that I'm preaching. If I gave someone this piece of paper, if I gave it back to Marianne and I said, Marianne, would you like a cup of coffee? And while the coffee is sitting there, filling the room with the right smell, filling the room with the substance of coffee, she said, you know, Seth, the thing is, I have what I already need. And I don't really feel like letting go of it. Because this is enough for me. Are you with me? Thank you, Linda. Here's what I think. Yeah, I know, I believe it. Like, what I think is, if you look at the first chunk of this passage, turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to start reading again. Paul goes through his laundry list of accolades. Paul, I love the resume. I had to write out all of the things that I had ever done that were good. And you just feel so, I'm like, oh man. Like, because I know the substance of who I am isn't this list of accolades, but Paul lists off the best pieces of all the things that should show that he is worthy. All of the things that he should say that should stack up to something within the realm of what it means to be a part of God's chosen and holy people. Paul turns in verse 7 and says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. In some translations, it says garbage, trash, not something worth holding on to. Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that comes from my own through the law, but which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's what I think. I think that when it comes to following Jesus, the temptation to just hold on to our best efforts and our best braggy, self-reliant, self-righteousness that we could possibly muster and pull together, I think it's overwhelmingly tempting. And I don't think it's just for new Christians or people who've never been in the church. I think it's an equal opportunity challenge for each one of us. It doesn't matter how long we follow Jesus or from what family we come from. It doesn't matter. What matters isn't what we do to be able to stack up and sort through our own salvation. Paul is saying that in Christ, we can let go of our best attempts because they're just shadows and representations, flickering images, poorly seen in a mirror. Are you with me? This is an invitation. And on a cold day, I went out. We have a walnut tree in our backyard that's become very aggressive. It started throwing walnuts down at the ground, and it shattered our glass table on our patio. And so I went out last night, right? These aggressive walnut trees. I'm so mad at it. I went outside, and it was cold this morning. And I, thank you so much, Marianne. I hope this is, just like kind of fill it up to the top and then don't make it go everywhere. Yeah, that's what I did the first time. Leah Wenger was recording with me for the Soil and Sea Project. And I had never had a pour over before. And I was like, oh, pour over. But it was really good. So I got one and then I poured some in and I was like, Leah, what do I do? She's like, it's good. sorry, that was a sidetrack. That wasn't part of my sermon preparation. Our own ability to sort through and to cling to what we think is our best chance is so tempting. And the more able I become in my life, the more tempting it is to think that somehow I can control and affect change in the world by myself. The river example with the nail in the wood just like hit me like a ton of bricks on Wednesday because I was trying to figure out what are the things that I wish that I could do in the world, and then How do I think about my inability to actually do them on my own? What Paul says in verses 10 and 11 is just, it's so good. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. What Paul wants to know isn't just a picture. What Paul wants to do isn't just hold a piece of paper and wish that nails would go into the wood. Are you with me? He wants to let go of the flickering image and shadow of what he knows is real. He knows that there's real righteousness, real right relationship with God, real power to save and to liberate, the same God that saved the people from slavery in Egypt, that liberated them, that brought them up out of Egypt. That God has become known to us in Jesus Christ in the power of the resurrection. When Paul compares his ability to make coffee on his own, it's just so obvious he has to let go. It's so obvious. Let's just put a little bit more water in that, Marianne. Perfect. Yep, you got it. It's so obvious. What happens for us is I think that our ability, we want to do two things. One, I want to be in right relationship with God, and I want to experience God's salvation in my life for myself, in my life for my family, in my life for how I parent, in my life for how I live in the church, in my life for how I'm a good friend, for how I'm a good companion, how I walk with people when they're in the hardest times in the valley of the shadow of death. I want to experience right relationship with God and empowerment, the power of the Holy Spirit through the resurrection of Jesus in my own life, because I know that it shakes out into the rest of the world around me. Then why do I pick up a piece of paper to hammer in the nail almost every time? Like if I really want to be a part of God's labor, God's work in the world, why do I first reach for the paper cup of coffee and hold on to it tight as if it's something that I could actually share with people? Why can't I see that there's goodness, that there's reality, that there's... Do you smell that? If you don't like coffee, I'm so sorry. Oh, actually, maybe this is less painful for you because you're not going to drink any. Why do I reach so quickly for my own resources when it comes to trying to join in God's work in the world? And I think it can only be really two things for me. One, I think far too highly of myself. And two, I think far too little of what God might do. This is like old time. I heard this sermon when I was 9. I think far too highly of what I think I can do with my own two hands to change and to save and to shape and strong arm the world around me into rightness. And I think far too little about, in reality, what the power of the resurrection of Jesus really means. Because if I understood that what I was holding was just a piece of paper and not the goodness of God. Oh, this is so perfect. Can I pour this for you? Okay, great. Someone's going to be really nervous for the carpet right now. Just take a deep breath. I do this every day. Oh, it's scary, Marianne. I just said some really big claims. Yeah, thank you. Everyone clap for Marianne, please. Thank you. We're just going to let that keep going. I realized after I invited you up that it was like 15 minutes I had you sit. I'm so sorry. I realized I don't go to the source. Instead, I look to my own cracked cisterns. That's the image in the Old Testament. It says instead of going to the living water means running water. Instead of going to the stream and the source, we look to ourselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. I thought that 76 in the hymnal was a perfect choice this morning. Look at verse 3. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, and though the eye of sinfulness thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, and there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and in purity. Man. So, my invitation to you this morning, Zion, don't settle for pictures of stuff. And pray for me that I don't do that too. Like, continue to be a church that turns, instead of turning to the very capable resources, I lost my paper, it's okay. Instead of turning to the very capable resources of what we think we can do on our own, let's, as a congregation and as a community, the church here at Zion Mennonite Church, continue to let go of the things that we hold in our hand and to receive from God the power of the resurrection. I'm going to say that again. Let us continue to let go of what we think we can do on our own and receive from God the power of the resurrection, because that's how we can join in God's work in the world. I wrote this down as Paul was doing his call to worship. I'm not going to put my confidence in myself. Selfishly self-relying on my own independence. I'm instead going to turn towards Jesus and believe the good news. Let's pray. God, thank you that in you we have life and we have it to the full. Thank you that there is power in the resurrection, your resurrection power, Jesus. Just be with us. It's so easy to forget. And then we work ourselves into the ground trying to fix everything. And we need to turn to you. God, give me grace to turn to you first. May we be a people that understands that our righteousness, our right relationship with you, comes through you and comes through faith and not through our own deeds. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.